Hey, good morning, Fairfax Circle Church. Welcome to worship again this week. It's great to have everybody here. It's great to be back after being on vacation last week. Thanks to Lex for doing a great job teaching. And I just want to make a few announcements this morning. I actually have several, so hang with me. There's a lot going on and a lot coming up that I want to make sure you're aware of. And all of this stuff is in our newsletter, on our Facebook, Instagram, all of that. We're doing our best to get all of this communicated out, but you need to be aware of a lot of this stuff. And the first thing is Camp Compassion. So starting on August 2nd, and for several weeks, we're going to be doing our first online kids camp this summer since we can't meet in person, and it's called Camp Compassion. So if you haven't signed up for that, I highly encourage you, if you're a parent with elementary age kids, to sign up for that. There's something for all ages. It's super creative. It's produced by the people of Compassion International. And so there's going to be a lot of material there that they've given to us. We're going to have in-home material for kids to work on and to use with their families. And we're also going to have some gatherings online through Zoom with some of our kids ministry leaders and some special guests. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So sign up for Camp Compassion if you haven't already. If you have questions about that, just email our children's pastor, Elise, at fairfaxcirclechurch.org. Also, just a reminder for those of you who have signed up and are planning to come, you need to pick up your materials here at church today. So we look forward to seeing you this afternoon for that. The next thing is in-person worship. That's coming up in just 2 weeks on Sunday, August 9th. There's lots of details about that. I can't go over all of them here, just don't have time, but we've put all of that on our webpage, so you can go right to our homepage. A little down, about middle ways down, there's a couple of buttons on it. One is register for in-person worship. If you will click on that button, it gives all the details in bullet points of what you can expect when you arrive, if you're planning to attend, how we're going to be making sure everything is as safe as possible and sanitized and all of that good stuff, and what it's going to look like. Also, you are required to pre-register. We have to know that you're coming. So at the bottom of that page is a couple of buttons to click on either the early service or the second service, whichever you prefer, to sign up and to come to that service. And as you're signing up, make sure you're signing up everybody who's going to be in your group, your entire family, if they're coming with you, because kids are going to be in worship with us, students. We're not going to have any kids or student ministry, so everybody needs to sign up who's going to be in a seat. If you've got a young child, a baby, an infant, or somebody that's going to be in your lap, you don't need to sign them up, but if they're going to be sitting in a seat, we need to make sure we mark those seats out for you so that we can keep everybody social distanced properly. So sign up for in-person worship if you're coming. If you're not, we completely understand. We're not asking anybody to come back until they're completely ready. It's why we're going to continue to do our online format as well. The only difference with online is it's going to change times to that second service time. So that's when we'll be doing that online. The third thing I'll tell you about is an event called Chalk It Up. Our staff has been talking about this and planning this for a good while, and we decided to roll it out around the same time as we're doing in-person worship. So it's going to be on Saturday, August the 8th. And this is kind of a drop-in type event on our campus. We thought it would just be a fun event to get people out of the house, but also maintaining social distancing. So the idea is for you to sign up for this, and we will reserve a parking spot for you, for your family, individually, however you want to do it. As many people in your family can sign up. If you want to do it separately, that's fine too. Or if you want to do it as a family or as a couple, you can do it. It's open to everybody in the church. And the idea is you'll show up sometime in the morning or afternoon before, at least by 2 o'clock on Saturday, and we're going to give you a parking space for you to use some sidewalk chalk and just to create a beautiful work of art. And then at that afternoon, after 2 o'clock, we'll have some judges come by. They're going to take a look at it. They're going to pick a winner. We'll snap a picture of that artwork, post that and the winner on our social media feeds. And the winner gets a $100 gift card to Target. So that's reason enough to come out and chalk it up, right? So hope you'll participate in that. We will put links to the sign up for Chalk It Up and to in-person worship and all that in the comment section in today's Facebook Live. So take a look at that and just click on those links. And then finally, I just want to update you on our food drive. It's gone really, really well. It's been a huge success, a great ministry to lots of people. in our community. We kind of lost track of how many individuals that we've actually served through this, but we're going to try to figure that out in the coming weeks. But we've had lots and lots of volunteers here in our church and lots of volunteers from within the community who have joined us in this effort. We've partnered with some other groups to be able to take it on a larger scale. We've had a ton of food and just other goods donated to make this happen. And we've had, to date, we've had a little over $16,000 given to this effort since we started it in mid-May or so, early May. So just thank you to everyone who supported it. And we are going to continue to do this as long as the resources are available for us to do that. So thank you for participating in that. And I hope you'll continue to help us with the food drive as we continue to feed people who are hungry. So I think that's it. Like I said, there's a lot coming up. So please connect with us on our social media feeds so you know what's going on. Check out our website. Look at our newsletters. We send out a newsletter every week to the church in general, to our student ministry, parents and students, and to our kids ministry. So you can get on all of those newsletter mailing lists if you're not on them. And we'd love to have you follow along on that and keep up. With that said, I just want to welcome everybody. I especially want to welcome those of you who are our guests today and checking us out online. We are glad that you're here. And if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to talk to you about what our church is all about. So don't hesitate to reach out to us through our contact form on our website. We'd love to get to know you that way. And we hope to see you in person one day when you're ready to do that. But I want to take the time to just welcome some special guests that have actually been worshiping with us for a while since we went online. We've got people who are worshiping with us really all around the country, people who were connected with our church before all this happened, and their church wasn't online or they hadn't connected with a church yet when they moved, and so they've been online from other states. But we've got people from around the world logging in and worshiping with us every Sunday morning as well. So I want to say hello to a couple of those groups. One is the Tanya Center, and a lot of you are familiar with the Tanya Center. So I just want to say hello to Joseph and Jennifer and everybody at the Tanya Center who's logging on and worshiping with us this morning. And then the other is my friend Nellie, who lives in Nairobi. I think Nellie's been online almost every week with us since we started online. I met Nellie back in February when me and three other folks from here were in Nairobi. We stayed at the guest house that she helps to run, and she is one of the most hospitable people you will ever meet, and she is a fabulous cook. She kept us well-fed, took care of all of our needs while we were there. So I just wanted to say hello to Nellie and thank you for being with us in worship as well. And you guys say hello to her in the comment sections as well. So with that said, let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll jump into Scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just an opportunity to worship you and to focus on you this morning. And even with all of the chaos and all of the stress and all of the stuff that's going on in our personal lives, in our communities, in our nation, and across the world, we know that you are still God and that you are still a powerful God. And so we lean on you when we need that. Now, God, I pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds as we look into a couple of stories from Scripture today and what it is that you want us to learn about being followers of yours through these stories. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes in your app. If you got our mobile app, you can follow along with the notes there. And let me just start by saying, one of the things that I love about Jesus, as you read about him in the gospel, one of the things that I love about Jesus was just how he interacted with people. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians, he wrote this, he said that Christ was the visible image of the invisible God. That when people encountered Jesus, they were actually encountering God. That when we see how, when we see Jesus, when we see how he lived, when we see how he loved others, when we see how he saw the world and the people in it, that we're actually seeing the character of God, and we can know what God is like through Christ. So for the next couple of weeks, we're just gonna look at some of the encounters that people had with Jesus that are recorded in the Gospels. And today, I want to give you kind of two questions to consider, kind of as the takeaway from what we're going to talk about and look at. And they're the same questions that Jesus put to the people in today's stories that we're going to look at. And the first story is found over in the book of John in chapter 9. So if you've got a Bible, old school Bible, that you want to turn to the Gospel of John, or maybe you've got a mobile app that you're using to read Scripture, go ahead and turn over to John chapter 9. It's a story about a man who was blind, and he was actually blind from birth. He was born that way. And Jesus' disciples, they were in the area where this guy was. They might have been passing by because this guy's sitting on the street and he's basically begging for money or begging for food, because in that culture, that's pretty much all he could do. But the disciples, they see him. And so they begin to get into this kind of theological discussion about this guy. And they eventually they ask Jesus, is that man over there, is he blind because of some sin that he committed? Or is he blind because of some sin that his parents committed? And so they have this little discussion about all that. And Jesus basically says to him, guys, that's not the way it works. It's not about who sinned or anything like that. He says it's about who God is. And it's about what God is about to do in and through this man because of his blindness. And then here's what Jesus does next. John tells us that he walks up to this guy who was blind, and he says, and he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smoothed it over the blind man's eyes, and then told him to go and wash, which is the appropriate thing to do to say to somebody if you just spit on them, right? I mean, you don't even have to be Jesus. You can be anybody. But if you spit on somebody, the thing to do is to say, hey, you should probably go and wash, right? So John says, so the man went back and washed, and he came back seeing. Now, why would Jesus heal this man this way? I mean, why the spit and the mud? What was the thinking behind this little mud concoction that Jesus made? You know, scholars have speculated a lot about this because, I mean, that's what keeps scholars in business, right? And one of the things that they say is that in that culture, that saliva had some medicinal purposes to it. There's two other times in Scripture where Jesus healed somebody using saliva, one person who was deaf and another person who was also blind. But this time he mixes mud in with it. Why the mud? And some people say that the mud and the saliva mixed together served as kind of an irritant that kind of forced the guy to go and want to wash it off, which seems kind of odd to me because, you know, if he didn't put the mud in it and it was just saliva, like he wouldn't feel like he needed to go wash it off or something like that. So I don't really know about that theory very much. But here's the real reason Jesus used spit and mud. Are you ready? We don't know. Okay, we don't know why he did it this way. So instead of asking why spit and why mud, I think a better question is, what were the disciples thinking when they saw Jesus do this? I mean, think about it. If you're one of Jesus's followers, you're one of his disciples, and you're there and you're watching this, you know he's going to heal this guy, right? You know Jesus is going to heal him. But then all of a sudden, you kind of see Jesus go, oh, you know, and then he does that, right? And if I'm a disciple, I'm going, oh my, I mean, my goodness. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's where the phrase, oh Jesus, came from. I'm not really sure. I didn't really fact check that one, okay? But regardless of the particular method, it was miraculous. This guy was healed. He could see. But not only was it miraculous, it was also transformational. I mean, he was so transformed that when this guy goes and washes, and then he comes back to that synagogue area where he was hanging out and where everybody else was hanging out, people didn't even recognize that it was him. People who knew him didn't recognize that it was him. Here's what John writes. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, is this the same man, that beggar? And some said he was, and others said, no, but he sure looks like him. And the beggar kept saying, I am the same man. So this guy is changed because of his healing. And not only can he see, but there's something about him that's changed so much that he actually looks different. People don't even recognize who he is. You see, there's power when people say yes to Jesus. But then this story kind of takes a turn, kind of takes a twist. And here's what happens after Jesus heals this man. There was an argument that took place. And there was an argument that took place over what happened and over the authenticity of who Jesus was. Because the religious leaders at that time, They were blind to the truth. It's like Lex pointed out last week in last week's story with the story of the lost son. The religious leaders were the older brother in that story, and they were lost, and they didn't even know it. And they didn't recognize what God was doing, and when they encountered Jesus, that they were actually encountering the living God. They completely missed that. And what they do is they pull this man in who used to be blind. They pull him in, and they basically interrogated him. And they even brought in his family and questioned them because nobody up until this point had ever been healed who had been blind from birth before. And four different times, John tells us, four different times, they ask him, "Who is this guy who healed you?" And I mean, and you can just imagine the frustration of this guy saying, "I don't know. I don't know who it was. I don't know who the man was. I don't know how he did it." And he actually gets a little sarcastic with them if you read the story, because eventually he says, "Why do you want to know? Do you want to be one of his followers too?" And then finally he says to them, he says, "Look, I don't know, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see." And you see, when he said that, that answer did not sit well with the religious leaders, because again, they were blind. They were blinded by their pride. They were blinded by their self-righteousness, and they knew the way, and Jesus wasn't it. They were blinded by their traditions, and instead of facing their own sin, what they did was they kicked this man out of the synagogue. Now, that may not sound like a big deal to us, being kicked out of the synagogue. But being kicked out of the synagogue in that day, in that culture, was one of the worst things that could happen to someone socially in that day. Being kicked out of a synagogue meant that you had no privileges. You were all of a sudden, you were a nobody. You were an outcast. You would suffer severe isolation. You couldn't sell things and trade and shop in the markets. Your friends and your family, they couldn't associate with you for fear of being kicked out of the synagogue themselves. So just think about this guy's day for a minute. I mean, he starts out the day as an outcast because of his disability. And then he's healed, and he comes back, and he's kind of this celebrity in terms of the buzz and the conversation around him and what's happening. And then he's interrogated and treated like a criminal by the religious leaders. And then he's an outcast again. He's a social outcast by the end of the day. And what was interesting to me is that Jesus, in this story, Jesus meets him two times. First as a disabled outcast, and then second as a social outcast. And this is where we pick the story up, way down in verse 35. John tells us, he says, when Jesus heard what happened to him about the being kicked out of the synagogue, he found the man. So Jesus went out and looked for this guy. He found the man, and he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man answered, "Who is he, sir? Because I would like to." You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord," the man said, "I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. You see, the irony in this whole story, this whole event, is that the blind man was the one who was actually able to see the truth. And the blind man was actually able to see Jesus as the Messiah. And when Jesus used that phrase, the Son of Man, he was referring to the title of Christ. And Jesus is asking him very specifically if he believed in the Messiah. So kind of fast forward 2,000 years later to today, Jesus asks us that same question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is? That's the first question for the day. Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he was, who he said he is? And your answer to that question has the potential to change everything. I mean, if you say yes, it shapes everything. I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe in your power. I believe in your way. You know, I believe that power of the power of that yes, it's massive. I mean, that yes can be a game changer. It can be a life changer. That yes is what sets you up in a new direction, because tomorrow morning when you wake up and you go into the world and you're a follower of Jesus, you say yes. Yes, yes, I'm going to love that person at work that's not very lovely because I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And yes, I'm going to be faithful to my spouse and I'm going to be faithful to my children because yes, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah who came to save me from a lifestyle of sin. And yes, I believe, and I'm going to use my gifts, whatever they are, I'm going to use my gifts to serve other people because, yes, I believe that Jesus came to serve me. And yes, I'm going to forgive that person I haven't forgiven yet because Jesus is who he said he was, and Jesus came to forgive me. Now, look at what happened, the four words that follow when this guy said, yes, I believe. John says, and he worshiped Jesus. I mean, I love that. I love that when we say yes to Jesus, that our instinct can and should be to worship him. Now, when I say worship, I don't mean when we sing songs and the things that we usually think about. That's just one slice of what worship is. But we worship God with the decisions that we make. We worship Jesus by following his teaching and his direction in our life. Our lifestyle can be an act of worship. So the first question this morning again is do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Do you believe? And then the second question is found in John chapter 5. And the context of this story is Jesus walks into a place that's filled with sick people. It was crowded with sick people, and it was a pool. So think big, huge, giant swimming pool. And just imagine this pool, and all around it, surrounding it, are these porches. And these porches are actually covered, built with coverings on them, so people could stay there for long periods of time. And it's just filled with sick people, people who are blind, people who can't walk, people who are dealing with medical problems and illness and sickness. And these people came from all over the region to be there because word on the street was that this pool had some kind of healing element to it. And that's not really difficult, I don't think, for us to believe because you know people still do that today. I mean, there are people who travel all over the world in the hope of finding some kind of healing for something that they're dealing with. And in Jesus' day, at this pool, the story was that every day an angel would come down, and an angel would come down and stir the waters of the pool. And when the people would see the water stirring in that pool, the first person in the waters, while they're being stirred, would be healed. So that's the context of this encounter. There's a pool with a bunch of sick people around it, and it's where we pick up in John chapter 5. John says this, one of the men lying there at this pool had been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew how long he'd been ill, he asked him, would you like to get well? Now, the reason I like that question is Jesus isn't being pushy here. I mean, it's a direct question, but it's somewhat gentle, right? I mean, Jesus just looks at the man and says, hey, would you like to get well? And here's what the man said. He says, I can't, sir, for I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, someone else always gets in ahead of me. Now, when I hear that, when I hear this guy, what I hear is him making some excuses. Now, I mean, they're legitimate excuses, right? He can't walk. He doesn't have the help. They're realistic. This guy's been there for 38 years, or at least he's been sick for 38 years. And so while there's some excuses around his answer, I also get this sense of humility and this sense of desire in his response. I mean, when he says, you know, I can't, but at the same time you can hear him saying, I can't, but I want to. And Jesus meets that combination of excuses and desire and humility, and he says this to him. He says, stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and walk. And instantly, just like the blind man, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up the mat, and he began walking. And here's the thing I love about this story. Jesus never made any mention of the pool, did he? He never mentioned anything about the pool. Why? Because the healing power wasn't in that pool. The healing power was in the person of Jesus. I mean, this guy was able to pick up his mat and walk because of Jesus. He was able to get well because of Jesus. He was able to start over because of Jesus. He was able to leave 38 years of pain and sickness because of Jesus. He was able to walk literally into a new life because of Jesus. And you know what? That same question is asked of you and of me today. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? That's the second question. Do you want to get well? And I want you to think, as we think about that question, I want you to think about an area in your life right now. I mean, let's go personal, because if it's not personal, it's not powerful. But I want you to think about an area in your life right now that needs some kind of healing in it. And some area of brokenness, of who you are, that needs to be fixed, that you need to change, but you can. You would change if you could, if you could have fixed it on your own by now, you would have, but you haven't because you can't. And so you need some help. So what is it in your life? And I don't know what it is for you, but my guess is that you probably do. I mean, maybe it's anger that needs to be healed in your life, because you're just triggered so easily. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you're just firing things off at other people, and you hurt them and you wound them. And then on reflection, you say, I really didn't want to do that. But you know you're going to do it again because you're broken in that area. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're judgmental, and you need some to be healed from that. That not only are you have a critical eye, but it's actually moved into your heart, and you're cynical, and you're gonna live a lonely life until that is healed in your life. Maybe you have some insecurities that need to be healed. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a pill or a drink or a website that you just can't go a day or a week without. Maybe you're addicted to the fast pace, like we talked about a few weeks ago, and you just got no margin in your life. And that's an area that needs to be healed. Identify what needs to be healed, and then ask yourself this question: what excuses am I making? What excuses am I making that's keeping me from being healed in this area? What excuses am I making that's keeping God from working in my life? Because you may have been around that pool for so long and that the excuses are just a part of your life, and you don't even recognize that you need healing in that area anymore. So do you want to get well? There's power in that yes. And by the way, this is not positive thinking yes, because you're not saying yes to hope. You're saying yes to Jesus. You're saying yes to the person of Jesus, that Jesus has the power to heal that area in my life if I align myself with His way. And I'm going to begin walking. I'm going to pick up my illness, whatever it is, and begin walking in the direction that I'm praying. And yes, I want to get well because of Jesus. Now, imagine with me just for a second, what might happen in your life? What might happen if your life was guided by these two questions? Do you believe that Jesus is who He says He is? And do you want to get well? I think our lives would be changed if we were guided by these two questions. And so I want to encourage you to answer those two questions every day, and maybe especially today. With all that we're going through in our world and everything that we see happening, I mean, this could be one of the most important times in our lives for some of us to begin asking these two questions. Do you believe Jesus was who He says He was? And do you want to get well in that area of your life? These questions and the power of yes can change everything. It did for these two men in these two stories, and I believe it can for you and me. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for John. I thank you for him taking the time to write out the story of your life and the things that you did, just a small part of the things that you did. I especially thank you, God, just for the encounters that you had with everyday people like us, and how when we see how you engage with them, and when we see how you treat them and how you love them, we're actually looking in to the character of God. And we can know that God feels that exact same way about us today. I thank you for these two questions. I pray that every one of us would take some time and ponder them today, and we would explore our own lives and where do we need some healing, and what excuses are we maybe making for not taking some steps in that direction. So heal us, God, in the areas we need it, and I pray that above all, you would be glorified through what you do, just like you were with this man who worshiped you. God, I pray you would just be with each one of us, and you would bless every one of us and bless our families as we just continue to navigate these days. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Hey, I hope you have a great, great week this week. Don't forget to check out all the things that are going on. Sign up for the things that you want to be a part of. Send us questions if you have questions about all that. We'd love to help you sort that out, and we will see you next week. Have a great week.